Chapter 6. The Era of Expansion and Reform. Between two great wars, the Civil War and the First World War, the United States of America came of age. In a period of less than 50 years, it was transformed from a rural republic to an urban state. The frontier vanished. Great factories and steel mills, transcontinental railroad lines, flourishing cities, vast agricultural holdings marked the land. With these came corresponding difficulties. Some corporations sought to extend an unwholesome, exclusive control over markets and production. Working conditions were sometimes poor. Cities grew so quickly that their new populations could not be properly housed or governed. Reaction against these and other abuses came from the American people and their political leaders, Grover Cleveland, William Jennings Bryan, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson. Articulate reformers, idealistic in philosophy but realistic in execution, underscored the need for reform, and the accomplishments of the period did serve effectively to check the wrongs engendered by over-rapid expansion. War needs had enormously stimulated manufacturing and had sped an economic process based on the exploitation of iron, steam, and electric power and the forward march of science and invention. As early as 1844, Samuel F.B. Morse had perfected electrical telegraphy, and soon afterward, distant parts of the continent were linked by a network of poles and wires. In 1876, Alexander Graham Bell exhibited a telephone instrument, and within half a century, 16 million telephones would quicken the social and economic life of the nation. The growth of business was sped by the invention of the typewriter in 1867, the adding machine in 1888, and the cash register in 1897. The linotype composing machine, invented in 1886, the rotary press and paper folding machinery made it possible to print 240,000 eight-page newspapers in an hour. Edison's incandescent lamp lit millions of homes. The talking machine, too, was perfected by Edison, who, in conjunction with George Eastman, also helped develop the motion picture. These and many other applications of science and ingenuity resulted in a new level of productivity in almost every field. Grover Cleveland, a Democrat elected to the presidency in 1884, understood the forces that were transforming the country. But the political picture of this period was largely negative. The vitality of the people was directed elsewhere, as most clearly reflected in the history of the West. A mere quarter century later, virtually all the country had been carved into state and territories. Settlement was spurred by the Homestead Act of 1862, which granted free farms of 64 hectares to citizens who would occupy and improve the land. Speeding this settlement were the railroads. The first great rush of population to the far west was drawn to the mountainous regions, where gold was found in California in 1848, in Colorado and Nevada 10 years later, in Montana and Wyoming in the 1860s, and in the Black Hills of the Dakota Country in the 1870s. Miners opened up the country, established communities, and laid the foundations for more permanent settlements. Western cities flourished as centers for the slaughter and dressing of meat. Despite the great gains in industry, agriculture remained the nation's basic occupation. The revolution in agriculture, paralleling that in manufacturing after the war, involved a shift from hand labor to machine farming and from subsistence to commercial agriculture. Between 1860 and 1910, the number of farms in the United States tripled. The American farmer grew enough grain and cotton, raised enough beef and pork, and clipped enough wool not only to supply American workers and their families, but also to create ever-increasing surpluses. Several factors accounted for this extraordinary achievement. One was the expansion into the West. Another was the application of machinery to farming. The automatic wire binder, the threshing machine, the reaper thresher or combine, mechanical planters, cutters, huskers, and shellers appeared, as did cream separators, manure spreaders, potato planters, hay dryers, poultry incubators, and 100 other inventions. Scarcely less important than machinery in the agricultural revolution was science. By the beginning of the new century, scientists throughout the land were at work on a wide variety of agricultural projects. In spite of his remarkable progress, the American farmer in the 19th century experienced recurring periods of hardship. Several basic factors were involved. soil exhaustion, the vagaries of nature, overproduction of staple crops, decline in self-sufficiency, and a lack of adequate legislative protection and aid. Southern soil had long been exhausted by tobacco and cotton culture, but in the West and on the plains too, soil erosion, windstorms, and insect pests ravaged the land. Even more complex, but more readily susceptible to swift remedial action, was the problem of prices. The farmer sold his product in a competitive world market, but purchased his supplies, equipment, and household goods in a market protected against competition. New organizations called Farmers Alliance appeared, and in 1890 had 2 million members. In addition to mounting an extensive educational program, these groups made vigorous demands for political reform. Alliance members soon formed a crusading political party known as the Populists, in active opposition to the old Democratic and Republican parties. Though the farmers' grievances were no less real than those of the slaveholders, there was no talk now of nullification or of secession. National unity was even more clearly visible during the war with Spain in 1898. In 1895, Cuba's growing wrath against the tyranny of the mother country burst into a war of independence. The United States watched the course of the uprising with mounting concern. Most Americans were sympathetic with the Cubans, but President Cleveland was determined to preserve neutrality. 3 years later, however, during the McKinley administration, when the U.S. warship Maine was destroyed while lying at anchor in Havana's harbor and 260 men were killed, an outburst of indignation arose. Although for a time McKinley tried to preserve the peace, within a few months, believing delay futile, he recommended armed intervention. The war with Spain was swift and decisive. During the 4 months it lasted, not a single American reverse of any importance occurred. Spain soon sued for peace, and in the treaty signed on December 10, 1898, transferred Cuba to the United States for temporary occupation preliminary to the island's independence. In addition, Spain ceded Puerto Rico and Guam in lieu of war indemnity, and the Philippines on payment of $20 million U.S. dollars. In its own earlier diplomatic relations with the Orient, the American government had always insisted upon equality of commercial privileges for all nations. In September 1899, Secretary of State John Hay addressed a circular note to the powers concerned, who thereupon agreed to the doctrine of the open door for all nations in China, that is, equality of trading opportunities, including equal tariffs, harbor duties, and railway rates in the area they controlled. In domestic as well as international affairs, Roosevelt's accession coincided with a new epoch in American political life. The continent was peopled. The frontier was gone. A small, struggling republic had become a world power. The country's political foundations had endured the vicissitudes of foreign and civil war, the tides of prosperity and depression. Immense strides had been made in agriculture and industry. Free public education had been largely realized. A free press had been maintained. The idea of religious freedom had been sustained, yet thoughtful Americans were not complacent about their social, economic, and political situation. For big business now seemed more firmly entrenched than ever. Often local and municipal government was in the hands of corrupt politicians, and a spirit of materialism increasingly seemed to affect society. Against these evils arose a full-throated protest that gave American politics and thought its peculiar character from approximately 1890 to World War I. It was not altogether a new note. Since the early days of the Industrial Revolution, farmers had been fighting a battle against the cities and against the rising industrial magnates. As far back as the 1850s, reformers had levied sharp criticism at the system of patronage by which successful politicians distributed government positions to their supporters. After a 30-year struggle, the reformers achieved the passage in 1883 of the Pendleton Civil Service Bill. This law, establishing a merit system in government service, marked the beginning of political reform. The years 1902 to 1908 marked the era of greatest reformist activity. Mark Twain, The Gilded Age, Upton Sinclair published The Jungle, Theodore Dresser, The Financier, The Titan, Frank Norris, The Pit. Lincoln Steffens' The Shame of the Cities bared political corruption. This literature of exposure had a vital effect in rousing the people to action. It was clear to many people, notably President Theodore Roosevelt, that most of the problems reformers were concerned about could be solved only if dealt with on a national scale. Roosevelt was passionately interested in reform and determined to give the people a square deal. Conservation of the nation's natural resources, putting an end to wasteful exploitation of raw materials, and the reclamation of wide stretches of neglected land were among the major achievements of the Roosevelt era. In 1913, Wilson, in a spirited campaign, defeated both rivals. Under his leadership, the new Congress proceeded to put through one of the most notable legislative programs in American history. Its first task was tariff revision. "The tariff duties must be altered," Wilson said. "We must abolish everything that bears any semblance of privilege." The Underwood Tariff, signed on October 3, 1913, provided substantial rate reductions on important raw materials and foodstuffs, cotton and woolen goods, iron and steel, and it removed the duties from more than 100 other items. Although the act retained many protective features, it was a genuine attempt to lower the cost of living.
听力课堂，欢迎你。
听力课堂，欢迎。
听啊，点儿啊。